We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Live from Cardinals Spring Training and the D.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We got rolling a little late today because the Billikens picked up a win against Rhode Island 74-71, and they are going to be back in action coming up tomorrow for their second game of the A-10 tournament. Tomorrow, they are going to take on Duquesne. That's scheduled for a 6:30 tip-off, so our coverage tomorrow at 6:15. We're not going to have much of a Sports Open Line. Whatever we have tomorrow, Nate Gatter will have you for it, as I've got the day off. Right now, we're going to head to the Quiver River Electric guest line, and we're very happy to welcome on from the Post-Dispatch in STL today. Covers the Cardinals, covers Cardinals prospects, does an incredible job doing all of it. He is Daniel Guerrero. You can follow him on Twitter if you'd like at the Dan Guerrero. Daniel, always appreciate you taking a few moments with us. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Always appreciate the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. You just got back from Jupiter and Cardinal spring training a few days ago, and you always have an interesting view because you are watching what's going on from a big league perspective, but you're also spending some time watching minor league camp and talking with a lot of the minor leaguers. What were some of the things, or what was the thing that maybe jumped out at you this year during camp?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously going to the backfield and seeing the future of the Cardinals, that organization, and some of the players coming to the system is always an interesting look. But, I mean, when it comes to just some of the interesting things you see back there, there's a group of players there who, you know, kind of stand out as guys who are going to be taking or projected or at least expected to take leaps, whether that be levels, whether that be up rankings or just in their development this year. One of the first guys that really comes to mind is Juan Vincho. He's an outfield prospect. He's 20 years old, turns 21 in August. He was the Cardinals' first amateur international signing from Asia. He's a Korean-born player. But, man, you look at his plate discipline, the way he hits for average, the way he steals bases. He profiles more as like a corner outfielder. But you look at the strength he's added and him kind of growing into that 6-foot-1 frame. You kind of expect him to take that next leap or take that next step in, hitting the ball in the line more. The exit velocity numbers, I know people get a little may not buy into them because they're hard-hit ground balls, but, I mean, you look at the numbers and you look at what he's trying to do with lifting the ball, and not lifting, searching for launch angle, but just hitting more line drive contact. He kind of projects as a guy we might be talking about more often, come the summer.
This is going to be a complicated question, and I'm sorry before I even go here, but you mentioned him being an amateur signing out of Korea. When you think about the Asian market, you think a lot of times about, guys who are coming over professionally and you have to do the posting fee and all that sort of stuff. When it comes to, and I guess it probably changes from one country to another, not every country, in the Asian continent is the same, but what does it look like? What are the logistics of working through the amateur market when it comes to Asian countries?
Yeah, I think a big part of that, and that's a good question, Matt. I think a big part of it is just comes through part of the player's decision, right? I mean, a lot of guys like Juan Vincho, foregoed the KBO draft and decided to make that the leap to professional baseball. That was obviously something that Shohei Ohtani wanted to do with Nippon Professional Baseball, the NPB, ultimately just was drafted there and played there and got his start as a two-way player there before he made the leap stateside. That's obviously a big part of it too, is just kind of the player's decision and the route they're going to take. Obviously, if Cho had decided to, you know, play in the KBO and, you know, get a couple years there, that would have been, you know, a very different path than, you know, going right into the lower minor league level and kind of being in a different setting and environment, just professionally and personally, you know, off the field. So those are a couple of the things, at least on the player side, that go into that process.
I would say maybe the number one Cardinals narrative right now is whether or not mm-hmm. Victor Scott is going to get a legitimate opportunity to make this team. He had an impressive performance today against Boston, mm-hmm. going 3-for-3. Anytime he's on the bases, the Victor Scott experience begins, and you see things that maybe you don't normally see. Do you feel like he's playing a lot right now? Do you feel mm-hmm. like the Cardinals are going to give him a legit chance to make this team out of camp?
It's a good question, just because, like you said, he's playing a lot, and the numbers, they weren't showing up in the box score at first. He was hitting a lot of line drives that were, you know, just weren't falling, had some good at-bats, was getting on base and creating some havoc on the base paths, which, you know, sometimes doesn't show up in the box score unless it's a stolen base, but you look at kind of the fits he was giving to pitchers. I mean, now you're starting to see those numbers show up, right? Like you mentioned today, the three-hit game, the stolen base, one of the hits he had, you know, was a bunt single. Plays a solid defense. You know, he's a gold glover at the minor league level. You know, only 9 players or in total of minor league baseball, and 3 being outfielders, win that award, and he was one of them. But he's showing really what he was last year in high A, double A, and in the fall league. You know, somebody who's going to give you a quality at bat, who's going to get on base and, you know, use his legs and create some offense in that aspect. But it's an interesting situation with the Cardinals outfield. Obviously, Tommy Edman, his status is, you know, doubtful for opening day. Lars Nootbaar is paused right now with the rib injury. We'll probably learn more soon of just kind of his status and update if he'll be able to make it and be ready in time. But you look at those openings and you look at what Victor Scott's doing, and, you know, if he plays into the plans, then, it's something that you would really have to consider.
Yeah, it's probably the most interesting and compelling storyline at this point. And I assume you would agree that if he makes the club, he can't sit on the bench. He's got to be playing just about every day, right?
Right. No, that's a good point too. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, where you have this guy who really made major strides in his development last year, and, you know, if he's on the major league team, you would want him to be playing every day to continue progressing and continue to get better and contribute in all aspects, rather than being, you know, somebody who's a fourth outfielder or a pinch runner or somebody in that aspect, you know, maybe late defensive replacement. But I agree. I mean, if he's on the big league team, you would expect him, or at least you would hope that he's, you know, getting the reps to continue to play and continue to get better.
Feels like we're watching kind of the next era of Cardinals baseball come forward. You've got guys who've been there a little bit now in Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, and, you know, Mason Wynn got a taste at the end of last year. Victor Scott's going to be there before you know it. Thomas Ajayi's going to be there before you know it. Gordan Graceffo and Michael McGreevy. I mean, there's other guys. I'm not mentioning everybody, but those are some of the top-level prospects, names that a lot of Cardinal fans know. Am I correct in stating that it feels like, even though guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado are still around, that this organization very is kind of moving towards what's going to turn into that next core of this team?
Yeah, and I think you see that a lot with the offense, right? You mentioned some of the names there with Junior Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman, and, you know, Mason Wynn, and, you know, Yvonne Herrera as well,
yeah.
In that backup role. But I think it's one of those things where it could be a really good balance when it comes to the young guys, getting used to the majors, and you have the veterans, you know, who have had the success and been there, can play a role in that and kind of, just play that clubhouse role. Obviously, that's one of the reasons why Matt Carpenter, you know, is back as a Cardinal. You know, he's somebody who can, obviously, the young players can learn from, somebody who can provide stability. But, yeah, I mean, it does feel like we're kind of seeing that next core come up. And, you know, when you have those veteran guys, I mean, it could be a good mix and, you know, lay a good foundation for the future.
It's fun, and you mentioned Matt Carpenter because there's been so much talk about the youth on this team, and I'd probably push back a little bit on how much youth there actually was. But when you as an organization, you know, state that you want to bring in veteran leaders, what that does is it puts you in a spot where some of these young guys maybe walk into a clubhouse that's got a better group for them to be able to look forward to, and, or, you know, look up to would be the better way to say that, and maybe that pays some dividends. I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about Brandon Crawford and his impact on mm-hmm. Mason Wynn, and we'll just have to wait and see what that looks like.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I mean, especially because you have Mason Wynn, who, got to the major, had a really strong year in the minors last year and has been a top prospect coming through the system. Got rewarded for the strong season with that call up and, had those initial struggles, but you bring in a guy who, was a starting shortstop for two World Series winning teams, has won a Gold Glove, has, been an all-star, and that's somebody who, you wouldn't maybe not project to obviously be getting the majority of the playing time at short with Mason Wynn, as long as he seizes that starting job. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of those examples, right, where you have a guy who's been there and been in these spots and, can provide that that stability for a young guy, in kind of that off the field role.
Let me finish you off with this. You love covering the minors and covering prospects, and you do such an incredible job doing it. It's the part of the business that is continuing to get more of a spotlight on it. It's growing. Baseball America's always been around, but MLB Pipeline and the various other, especially, social media accounts and things like that, that focus in on what's going on in the minors and in college baseball and so forth. Major League Baseball is jumping on that as well. We've got the spring breakout this year. We've seen the rosters for that. That's going to be the event where teams are putting out their top prospects against other teams of top prospects, and it's going to be a day of that, and Major League Baseball is really going to focus in on those games for that period. As someone like you who covers the minors and player development, do you enjoy the fact that Major League Baseball does do things like this with the spring breakout and are really embracing what's a growing part of our game?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing for the sport. I mean, obviously, if you want to grow the game, I mean, getting some of these young guys coming up the system in a spotlight in whatever fashion that may be, whether it's the Futures game, or the Fall Stars game, which, isn't as well known during the Fall League, but this is one of those other examples, like you said, of guys being able to showcase their skills. I mean, and I think one of the positive things is that there's really a range of guys. It's, it's not just Mason Wynn and Chase Davis, who was a Cardinals first round pick last year, but it's also guys who, might not leap off the page as a top prospect, like Noah Medlinger, who, had a strong kind of under the radar year last year in high A and double A. Also Ian Vidal, he's a Mizzou product, finally had a healthy season last year, and his progress has been delayed coming up the system, but, had a strong year in high A as a starter, and, he can get a chance to pitch in a, in kind of a marquee weekend. I mean, it's something that, helps with exposure and just kind of gives guys those moments to, showcase their skills. I mean, I think it's a really positive step for baseball.
He is Daniel Guerrero. Again, he covers the Cardinals, covers the minor league and prospect development side of the Cardinals as well. You read him in the Post-Dispatch. You read him at STL Today. You follow him on Twitter at TheDanGuerrero. Daniel, always appreciate the time. It was good to see you during spring training. And here we're just a couple weeks out from the start of the season. We'll see you at Busch Stadium before we know it.
Yeah, looking forward to see you there, Matt.
Awesome. Very good. That's Daniel Guerrero joining us here on the program. All right, when we come back, I want to dive in a little bit more into the Victor Scott question. Should this guy be on the opening day roster? Do you have thoughts? You can call or text in 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. We will take a break and have more in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We roll on. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Back in studio for the first time in over a month. I left for Florida on February 12th. I think my last show was maybe the 10th or the 9th or something like that. And back at it after a long time. It's weird, by the way. It's weird. You work somewhere and you go into the office essentially every day, and then you don't go into that office for a month. And then you walk back in, and it's just kind of a weird vibe. But I was very glad to be back today and able to talk to you here from our KMOX studios. All right, wanted to get into this, and would love to hear from you if you've got thoughts on it. We'll take your phone calls. We'll take your text messages. We'll take your tweets if you have any thoughts on this whatsoever. It's been in a pretty big social media narrative today. So if you want to call or text, the phone number, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MATTPAULEY on air. Should Victor Scott II be on the Cardinals opening day roster? The reasons against are he's still young, he's still developing, he probably doesn't have a long-term role on this team once Tommy Edman does get healthy and he returns. And if he is overmatched at the big league level, maybe it could stunt his development. So those are the reasons against. The reasons for are he is the best defensive center fielder who's major league ready in the organization. That includes Tommy Edman. And this is nothing against Edman. He's a perfectly fine defensive center fielder, and he's turned himself into that in a relatively short amount of time. But Victor Scott is an elite defensive center fielder. And you might want, but I think it's borderline a need when you look at the Cardinals outfield situation right now. They are going to start the season without Tommy Edman. I would argue that they are likely to start the season without Lars Nootbaar. The organization will tell you that he has not yet been ruled out for the start of the season, and that they're going to be reevaluating that the rib injury, the non-displaced rib fractures that he suffered, that those are going to be reevaluated here in about a week and a half or so, and that there is still runway for him to get ready for the start of the regular season. I don't think it's likely at this point. I'll take the organization's word for it that they still believe it's a possibility. I don't know how much of a possibility they think it is, but if I had the old proverbial gun to the proverbial head and had to choose whether or not Lars Nootbaar is going to be on the opening day roster, I would tell you no. He's going to be on the injured list. So what does that do from a defensive standpoint in the outfield? We already have Jordan Walker in right field. You are probably going to roll with Alec Burleson a lot in left field. He probably essentially becomes your everyday left fielder. You can put Brendan Donovan out there, But the team is being very, very, very careful right now with Donovan as he comes off his offseason surgery. They've been playing him on the infield, and they don't seem too eager here at the moment to put him in the outfield. So the job probably comes down to Alec Burleson and left, plus Burleson's been swinging a really hot bat here in spring. So that presents a situation, with all due respect to Jordan Walker, who has improved himself defensively exponentially. And I think Burleson has in many ways improved himself as well. He looked, when I got to spring, that was one of the first things that I noticed. Burleson looks like he is in fantastic shape. And he's been doing a lot of work on terms of agility and speed and things like that. Stuff that makes him a better defensive outfielder. So he's going to be better, but he's not a defense first player, right? Like he's a bat first guy, and you find somewhere he can play, whether that's left field or first base. You find a spot that he can play and you go with it. So you're going to want your best defensive center field. And this is Dylan Carlson, fantastic defensive center fielder. Michael Ciani, fantastic defensive center fielder. I'm not trying to take anything away from these guys. They are very, very, very good at what they do playing in the outfield. That being said, I would argue that Victor Scott II takes it up another level, that this guy can be an elite, special defensive center fielder, like best in the game kind of defensive center fielder. And he can do that right now. He can do that right now. So if you're going to open up the season with Alec Burleson in left and Jordan Walker in right, you probably want the best possible guy in center field, and I would argue that's Victor Scott II. Now, offensively, can he do enough at the big league level to make this work? Because he's got to hit at least a little. It's the conversation we have about Mason Wynn. Wynn doesn't have to go out there and hit 270, 280, 300. Like, he doesn't have to do that. He's just got to hit a little. And I actually think the Cardinals might have pushed back on me even saying that. Maybe Mason Wynn is the guy who he doesn't have to hit at all. He's going to make the team. He's going to make the team because of his glove and because of the way he can impact the game at shortstop. And the actual numbers that he's producing doesn't matter as long as the team sees him continuing to take steps forward at the plate, implementing things that he's working on with coaches and things like that, taking professional at-bats, all those kind of baseball cliche-y type things that people like me say. So as long as he's doing that stuff, it really doesn't matter what the numbers are in the box score. So that's going to – we don't talk about the eye test very often. The eye test in many ways has departed our game of baseball. That's one area. The eye test might be quite important when it comes to Mason Wynn. As long as something that Mike Claiborne likes to say about not getting yourself out. As long as Wynn is not getting himself out, then it doesn't matter what the numbers are. If you begin the season with Victor Scott on the roster as well, I think in many ways the expectation of what he does offensively is going to be much the same. As long as he's not getting himself out. As long as he's still finding other ways to impact the game from a positive standpoint. And he's going to be able to do that with the way he plays outfield defense. And when he gets on base, he's going to do things that you just don't see. I talked about this. I talked about this on the final Sports Open Line I did from Florida. There was a game the other day that we were broadcasting, and he put down a bunt single down the third base line. The third baseman wasn't playing back. He wasn't playing overly in, but he was inside the third base back. Scott was at first base before the third baseman even touched the ball. The speed that he shows is remarkable. And then he was either going first to third or second to third. I don't remember what the play was. And his helmet's always falling off, by the way. If you've been watching his helmet, he needs to get his helmet resized. His helmet is falling off constantly. But his helmet falls off as he's running between second and third. It's going to be a close play at third. He doesn't stop, but he, like, air quotes, slows down to pick up the helmet. I use the air quotes when I say slows down because Victor Scott doesn't really slow down. His rate of speed decreases a little bit, I guess would be the best way to say it. And he picks up the helmet and carries the helmet and gets into third. These are the things he does. We jokingly call it the Victor Scott experience because he is doing things that you just don't see done very often. I don't know if he's a good enough offensive player to do just enough offensively to be on the team. Now he's hitting 370 right now in spring. He was hitting 292 when he woke up this morning. He went 3 for 3. He's now at 370. To put that in perspective, though, 3 days ago he was hitting 188. So batting averages go all over the place. It sounds great that he's hitting 370. This past weekend he was hitting 188. The hits are starting to come. That's something that Daniel Guerrero and I were talking about a little bit. We weren't seeing the hits with him before, although we were seeing good stuff. Now the hits are starting to come, and he might just play his way onto the roster. Because when you look at what other players who are going to play center field are doing, it's not great. Dylan Carlson is hitting 208 in spring with 7 strikeouts and 24 at-bats. But he does, to be fair, Carlson does have 3 hits over his last 2 games. Maybe that's what Carlson needed. Maybe he needed there to be clearly pressure on him to make the team with the way Scott is playing. So before 3 hits into the last 2 games for Carlson, give him all the credit in the world for that. Before those 3 hits, he had 1 hit in spring, and he was hitting 150 2 days ago. No, he was hitting 111 2 days ago. Excuse me. He was at 111 2 days ago. Now he has seemingly turned things around just a little bit. But if he falls back, and you know, Michael Ciani is another guy who could make this team depending on what happens. Again, this is all based off Tommy Edman not being able to start the season, which is going to happen. Ciani's hitting okay. He's hitting 250 so far in spring. That's fine. But he's not your everyday starting center fielder. You would think it's going to be Dylan Carlson. But if Carlson can't do it, does Victor Scott turn into that guy? And then that puts Carlson right back into that fourth outfielder role that he was scheduled to be in before the season even got started. So it's a really interesting storyline as we get set for the season. And Victor Scott can put a lot of pressure on a lot of people if he continues to do things that are notable because he is so much fun to watch. If you want to join us, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll take a break. We'll talk a little bit about the Cardinals pitching situation. Could Sonny Gray be available when the season gets started? Still seems unlikely, but what does that really look like? We'll get into it coming up in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, live from Cardinals Spring Training and the D.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We do roll on here on KMOX, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. Got a text message. I was talking last segment about Victor Scott. This is one of those texts. Somebody from the 217 said, I hope these two geezers the Cardinals hired for leadership don't keep Scott off the opening day roster. First off, the word geezer is just a funny word. I don't know. I get a kick out of that. Secondly, more importantly, to the point, I assume talking about Matt Carpenter and Brandon Crawford, is that who's being spoken? No, those guys are not keeping Scott off the roster. Like we need to use a little bit of common sense here. If there was an outfielder version of Matt Carpenter who had been signed, then yes, that guy could keep Victor Scott off the roster. If Michael Ciani makes the team, you can look at Ciani keeping him off the roster. But if we're speaking from a common sense perspective, like Miles Michaelis is not keeping a third baseman off the roster. There are positional groups. So no, Matt Carpenter is not keeping Victor Scott off the roster. Brandon Crawford is not keeping Victor Scott off the roster. Matt Carpenter is a first baseman, DH, bat off the bench. That's it. Brandon Crawford is a backup short. They needed a backup shortstop. I have come to really appreciate the Brandon Crawford signing. He has to hit, right? Okay. And he didn't hit last year. I understand that. If he doesn't hit, then I don't like the signing as much. I retroactively go back and say, that wasn't a great signing. But in the moment, right now, as more time has gone by. Because when Crawford was first signed, I was like, okay, I get it. Edmund's not going to start the season. They don't have a backup shortstop. They need a backup shortstop. This guy was available. He's been around for a while. He's a really good player at one point. He fits the roster. So that's where I started on this, that he fit the roster. Now, as more time has gone on and I've continued to watch this, I love the Crawford signing. I love the Brandon Crawford signing. I think he is great to have for Mason Wynn to kind of watch the way he goes about his business. This guy, Brandon Crawford, is in the conversation for the best shortstop in Major League Baseball of the last 10 years. This is a guy who won 4 Gold Gloves, Silver Slugger, multiple-time World Series champion. He damn near won an MVP. So he has been really, really good. I understand that I'm speaking in the past tense. He has been very, very good. Okay. We don't know that he's going to be very, very good anymore. He was banged up last year. He was really banged up last year. The Cardinals are going to limit him in how often he plays. Mason Wynn is the starting everyday shortstop. Wynn's never played 162 games before. It's hard. It's hard to play a full Major League Baseball season. That's part of the reason that I love the game of baseball so much. Because when you build a roster, you're not building a roster that can go be a top team for 60 games, for 80 games, for 100 games. No, you are building a roster that can survive 162 games every single year. And what I'm about to say is less true now than it was years ago because of the expanded playoff, where now if you get off to a really, really hot start, you can survive a so-so second half and maybe still get into the playoffs. But essentially every year, you see a team that gets off to a great start and they just run out of gas. They were a team that was not built to last 162 games. We do not talk enough. We do not talk enough when getting into building a baseball team about the ability for a baseball team to get to the finish line, to get through 162 games. We don't talk about it enough because it is one of the most challenging things about the game of baseball, to have a group that can go out and play 162. And that's why I love the Brandon Crawford signing. He helps the team play 162. He's going to get Mason Wynn off his feet a day or two a week. He's going to be out there a day or two a week. He's going to not be asked to do so much that he breaks down by the time the year ends, but he's going to do enough to help Mason Wynn not break down and make it through. Like that's the vision that's being used to that if you want to evaluate the signing, I think that's how you have to look at it. That's my point. I love the signing. I think the signing makes the Cardinals a much better team to last 162. Now, look, the other side of that, if we're being completely fair about things, the other side of that is this team, things are already happening with this team that makes it look like getting through 162 is going to be challenging. You are already starting the year without your starting center fielder. You're already likely starting the year without your starting left fielder. You are likely starting the year without your top of the rotation ace level pitcher. Like all those things are true. And we've all seen it time and time again where teams have dealt with injuries all season long. They've just been completely snake bit by injuries. And it started in spring training and you never came back from it. I am hopeful that that is not what's going to happen with this Cardinals team. So there you go. Both sides of it. I think Brandon Crawford helps the team get through 162. But I'm also moderately concerned right now about the team's health just because I don't want the dominoes that have already been pushed down to continue to be pushed down all season long where you just never – yeah, they spent an entire offseason talking about wanting guys who are locked into positions and being able to have a pretty stable lineup. Well, they're not in position right now to be able to do that. We'll take one more break, come back, wrap up the program. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Starting to wrap things up, it's a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Tomorrow,
I don't know what we're going to have. Like, Slew Bilkin's coverage is supposed to start at 6:15. So that leaves a little bit of time for Sports Open Line. I'm not in tomorrow. You're not going to hear a lot of me over the next 2 weeks. I took some time off. But Matt Pajeski's dancing about that. Come on. It's a long month in Florida for me. But Nate Gatter's going to be here in some form or fashion tomorrow. He has to be ready because today the SLU basketball game got pushed back a half hour. He's got to be ready. So Nate Gatter is going to be doing some. I saw today, by the way, on his Twitter, he's going to be doing some radio work for Westwood One, which is awesome. Way to be. Shout out Nate Gatter, who is really, really, really good play-by-play guy. And the more opportunities that Nate can get, the better. And if you have an opportunity to have Nate do work and you don't have it, I don't know what you're thinking. So, want to talk a little City SC before we get out of here. Head coach Bradley Carnell spent some time speaking with the assembled media, including our own Gen C. Speaking of Nate Gatter, Gen C, St. Louis City Soccer Report, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. You should always be tuned in. Anyways, Carnell talked a little bit about what the year two expectations are, just with what they did, obviously, last season. And where they're going this year, still very early on, where they set their expectations, especially based off expectations based off what happened last year.
I don't want to let that be the emphasis when you start focusing only on winning and not the process, because there's many ways to win, right? There's development of individuals, there's results of the team, there's stylistically how we're going about it, there's academy prospects training with us. There's so many different things that we view as success, right? And my job, not just coaching the team, there's a few other things, right? It's being a manager of a couple of different, I wouldn't say departments, but you know, a lot of people come to you for a lot of different advice and a lot of opinions. So you kind of have to wear many different coaching hats, you know, and I've embraced that. You know, I've trusted in the staff. I've delegated a lot more this year, and I've seen great response from the staff.
That's Bradley Carnell speaking earlier today. And that's going to do it for this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.